Now to another extraordinary story involving a prisoner, Frank van den Bleeken. Right now, his fate is the big story in Belgium.
Un interné demande l'euthanasie à défaut de pouvoir être soigné dans un établissement spécialisé aux Pays-Bas. Ce délinquant sexuel a fait le choix de mourir.
Any day now, convicted murderer and sex offender Frank van den Bleeken will travel from his prison to a nearby hospital where he'll receive a lethal injection. This isn't a state execution. No, it's voluntary euthanasia. Frank says that after 30 years in prison, he feels unbearable mental anguish and he wants to die. The family of one of his victims say Frank van den Bleeken should not be allowed to die at a time of his choosing. He should rot here on earth. Kenneth Chambert is a sociologist. He's based at the Free University of Brussels. He specialises in end-of-life issues.
Frank van den Bleeken is a repeat sex offender and murderer, been incarcerated now for the last 30 years. While he should have been placed in a psychiatric facility, he stayed in jail, and partly because of a mental illness which has been progressing, and also the living conditions where he's not receiving the adequate care. He now has a long-standing euthanasia request now for the last 3 years.
And I understand he says that he still has violent impulses, and for that reason he says he shouldn't be released and there's no prospect of him leaving prison. Because of this, he says he has, quote, unbearable psychological anguish. Is that right?
Well, that is also his claim. He says he's still a menace to society, so he doesn't want to be released. All he wanted is to receive adequate help, so psychological, psychiatric help, or some form of treatment which he hasn't had the past 30 years. Yes, he's suffering unbearably. This has been established also by 3 independent psychiatrists. The question is, what is the source of that unbearable suffering? Is it his deteriorating mental illness, or is it the living conditions and the lack of adequate help?
As I understand it, the great majority of cases of voluntary euthanasia in Belgium, about 80% are cancer sufferers who are terminally ill and are in great physical pain. But it is also possible to obtain euthanasia if you are experiencing unbearable psychological anguish as well. So in some limited circumstances, this is possible under Belgian law.
Yes, it is possible. So it's not specified. It has to be physical suffering within the euthanasia law. And from reports from the Committee for Euthanasia, we know that about 2-3% of reported cases has to do with psychological suffering, which is unbearable and also without prospect of improvement because these people have undergone numerous treatments, all of which did not help. So in that case, euthanasia becomes a possibility or an option.
Now, I understand that there was a few years ago a Belgian prisoner who was dying who received voluntary euthanasia, but this is in fact the first time a prisoner has requested and been granted euthanasia for unbearable psychological anguish. Is this decision controversial in Belgium?
Yes, it's very controversial. It's clear to see that the majority of people have very big question marks regarding this case. So there's a lot of dangers attached to it, such as setting a precedent for other inmates or incarcerated people to request euthanasia because they are locked up. And there's also the sentiment among the public. It's actually an option to let them out easily.
It's interesting. I've read that something like 15 prisoners in Belgium have now asked for voluntary euthanasia on the back of Frank van den Bleeken case.
Yes, that's true.
Is this a way of one of the very complicated issues around this is potentially, is this bringing back capital punishment by the back door in a way?
Yes, with that difference that they requested voluntarily. Of course, you can also question whether this is voluntary, if it has to do with the living conditions and just not being helped within the correction system. This has been an issue in Belgium for some time, and we've actually received numerous reprimands from the Human Rights Court in Europe, because in Belgium we have to do something about this, especially psychiatric.
Indeed, I read that in January the European Court of Human Rights found that Belgium had failed to provide appropriate care for inmates with mental health issues. It ordered that the state pay damages to three prisoners, citing structural shortcomings that result in about 1,000 prisoners being held in ageing, overcrowded, inadequately staffed prison wings.
The biggest issue in Belgium has always been when you allow euthanasia, it should never be for a lack of adequate care. So even for cancer patients, you would think that if they don't get the right care for them, they would more easily ask for euthanasia. But euthanasia should not be a way out option for the government not to act to improve the end of life and care for its citizens.
Some of the most prominent advocates of euthanasia have in fact opposed the decision to allow euthanasia in this case of Frank van den Bleeken. One of them is Dr. Wim Distelmans. Who is he and why is he very much opposed to this decision?
Well, Wim Distelmans is a sort of the pioneer around euthanasia, but also the palliative care movement. He's chairman of the Federal Evaluation Committee for Euthanasia. He does have a liberal view on euthanasia and is open to any request. So if Dr. Distelmans is opposed to a certain case or request, then it's a very, very controversial case in my mind, yes.
Frank van den Bleeken is very articulate. I've read interviews where he says, quote, "My life has absolutely no meaning. I will never be free, rightly so, because I am a danger to society. Outside these walls, there is great risk that I would do it again and make big mistakes. What am I supposed to do? What is the point of sitting here until the end of time and rotting away? I'd rather be euthanized." I understand that he did actually try to have himself transferred to a facility across the border in the Netherlands, a psychiatric prison which does actually offer treatment to psychotic prisoners, or I don't know the term, but people with his mental illness and criminal proclivities. Is that true?
Yes, he did ask for a transfer. Well, it's across the border, but Belgium is a very small country. It's only 50 kilometers from where he is now. So it's actually a political issue that led to a refusal to transfer him. Because it was abroad, there were no structural agreements for transfer or change of prisoners. Actually, the reason, and the ministry and the courts, they both said they were unauthorized to seek such an agreement between the two countries. So that's actually the reason why he was not transferred. And you can't help asking whether this is really the refusal by the government to help this person, because this, people say it's also a financial pressure for the government to let him follow treatment for the rest of his life abroad. And perhaps he took the easy way out by agreeing with his advocates, so with his lawyer, that he could receive euthanasia. So it's all very, very controversial, and I think the majority is against it.
It is very interesting you use the term easy way out. That's very interesting language, because I guess the question is that is this a way of getting rid of very expensive people, very difficult people, people of whom there is no hope of rehabilitation and moving on? It is, in a sense, potentially a form of capital punishment.
Oh, yes, these people are quote-unquote vulnerable people. This is also a very sensitive issue. When euthanasia is legalized, a lot of people say this is going to impact on the most vulnerable people. Although it's an extremely rare case, it's an illustration of this fear that it also happens in practice. Even if it's only this one case, it can set a precedent for other cases. And it can lead to euthanasia being used as a way out for people who do not longer want to be imprisoned, but have been convicted to prison.
I've read that the family of one of his victims, a woman that he murdered, a 19-year-old Christiane de Markel, that family take the view that he should not be allowed to die. They say that he should rot in his cell. That's their view, that idea that he shouldn't be allowed the choice to die, to move on or to leave jail at the time of that he sees fit.
Well, this is a widespread feeling among the public when you read the comments on the media articles. A lot of people say that this is too easy for a person who has done such horrible things to get euthanasia. So on that grounds, they would reject his request. Well, some people want him to rot in jail, but actually I don't think anyone wishes that on anyone else. But what they want to say is that he shouldn't get euthanasia because it's too easy.
One of the things I saw Christiane's sister Annie say, look, nobody's come to see us and ask us how we feel. Not a single commission has examined our case. Not a single doctor or expert has asked how we're doing. This is the family of one of the deceased. Mm-hmm. We look at things from a health perspective for the perpetrator and resources there. People might say equal resources need to go to the victim and the survivors of crime as well.
Yes, I agree with most of what you say.
So I guess at the end of the day, this raises very profound questions about the nature of punishment and rehabilitation.
Yes, this will certainly cause quite a stir, and maybe, just maybe, it will be a kickstart for the Belgian psychiatric correctional system to up their game and to start battling away at the lack of capacity and also the lack of skilled personnel in these facilities, because this is really a case on the knife edge of healthcare and corrections. So it's a very entangled issue which maybe now will be followed up by the government.
Sociologist Kenneth Chambert, based at the Free University of Brussels.